Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello Serie A fan. After a bruising international break, Scudetto crew is back. And to add insult to injury, both Milan and Napoli have lost their unbeaten status, ruining both Boaz's weekend and Serie A's bragging rights in one fell swoop. We get into all of that and look ahead to the Champions League, plus children's parties, underqualified doctors and the podcast Kiss of Death on this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome back to Scudetto. And let me start off by issuing an apology to all of our listeners who were wondering where we were last week. We're back to Mondays for the time being. We're too sad to record after that shambles of an international break, which we will get into in a little bit. So we'll be recording at the start of the week for the time being. Obviously means we'll be more focused on what's happened, but it also gives us a chance to talk about the Champions League games that are coming up. So on that note, Kenny, how are you doing? How is your weekend?
Good. Yeah. I had a crazy busy weekend of going to two children's parties and children's swimming class and children's tennis classes. Fortunately, I was accompanying my daughter. I don't just turn up at these things. But yeah, it was busy, but good. How was yours, Oscar?
Sounds good. Yeah, did you find time to watch some football at least?
I did indeed, yeah. I managed to catch two of the weekend's games, one of which was incredible, one of which I wish I hadn't watched, but we'll get onto that in a bit.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of Serie A also, and also watched Antonio Conte's first home game in the league, 2-1 victory, which we won't be talking about today, except for what I've already said. How about you, Baz? I think you were at a kids' party as well, weren't you?
Yeah, it seems to be a plague at the moment. I had my son's kindergarten/nursery event today, and I have to say, it's not clear to me how we are the alpha species on this planet, because these children are not very evolved. Honestly, without their parents, they would run into fires and stuff. I don't understand, but
not a lot of social distancing going on. But
we all had our masks on, but a bit interesting. Yeah, I don't recommend it. It's my idea of hell.
Okay, good advice for me, I guess. We forgot to do the beers. Kenny, what have you got there to drink?
I've got my hands on it's new to me, but I've seen it doing the rounds over the last couple of months. But it's a BrewDog, but it's a Planet Ale, pale ale, and it's very nice. It's I think of the weaker ales that they do, I think it's possibly overtaken Dead Pony Club for me. Very pleasant.
Yeah. Is it a 0.5 or is it?
Oh, no. I say the low alcohol. I mean the ones that aren't like Boaz level. It's 4.3. So.
Yeah, I've got a properly very low alcohol drink. Obviously, moving to East London, since I moved to East London, this podcast become more pretentious. I've got kombucha because I run out.
Be careful about revealing your address, because some of those hardcore fans that accosted you to find out why we weren't recording on the correct day of the week might stalk you.
Or maybe they'll come around with a case of beer or something.
The ones that know Chalanoglu's address, yeah. and the good hospitals in Milan.
Have you checked the routes to the hospitals around your houses? Never know.
How about you, Baz? You got a beer today?
I have a Bindi IPA, which I've also had in a previous episode.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to the football then, shall we? We've once again given the Scudetto kiss of death to the league leaders. We were praising Napoli and Milan for being the only unbeaten teams in, I think we said in the world, it was certainly true that they were the only unbeaten teams in the top European leagues. And both of them lost at the weekend. So let's start with Milan, shall we, Baz? Must have been a disappointing experience for you. Are you glad that you didn't watch it with the Viola Club Israel?
It's funny because I'd actually proposed it at the beginning of the season and we slightly entertained it, and then I completely forgot about it. And yes, I'm glad that I didn't watch this game with, albeit a very nice Fiorentina fan. This was undoubtedly Milan's worst performance of the season. They entered the field looking uninterested. The approach was half-hearted, and there was a lot of individual mistakes. In the past, Milan have relied on a few moments of genius to kind of dig them out of this mess, and they've not always played well in this season, but they've always made sure to get a result. In this game, the mistakes piled up, and while Milan have the alibi of missing some key players due to injury, let's face it, Fiorentina themselves were missing quite a lot of key players, including their two starting centre-backs. It would be wrong to just talk about Milan's terrible performance, because credit has to go to Vincenzo Italiano, who's decided that since he's missing half of his defense, he might as well defend up front from the attack. And you could see that with the Fiorentina players pressing the Milan defense, really running their socks off. But ultimately, for me, Milan just didn't approach this game correctly. And that can happen. There's a long season ahead. Milan had to lose sooner or later. It's just a shame that, it's a bit worrying to concede four goals against a team that hasn't scored that many so far this season. So
what would you say is different about the approach? Just wondering, because obviously they relied on the moments of brilliance before, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic obviously still coming up with those to a certain extent, becoming the oldest player to ever score a brace in Serie A, and also could have had a hat trick, which went down as an own goal. But what was the difference? Just too many mistakes at the back.
The mistakes at the back certainly didn't help, but it felt like the approach of the whole team was it's a footballing cliche, but they were second best to every ball. Their passing was wayward, and if you consider that the contract rebel Kessié was wearing the captain's armband for this game, I mean there's kind of a metaphor to how Milan played. And again, credit to Fiorentina, but these are the kind of games that Milan should be winning if they want to win the league.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that they are the games that you should be winning if you want to win the league. But at the start of the season, a lot of people speculated as to whether Fiorentina would make it the eight sisters instead of the seven sisters. And, you know, we saw, like, at the start of the season, we're very, very excited about Fiorentina. And then they started to, you know, tiring games early and things, and we started wondering if we'd overhype them. But look at where Fiorentina are. Look at where they are now. Look at where they were this time last season. And I mean, they've come on a very, very long way. And they are in the top eight now. So I guess just to show how high our expectations were of Vincenzo Italiano, the fact that they're well in the mix with the other seven big teams of the moment speaks volume. So Atalanta lost earlier in the season to Fiorentina. It's not like this is unheard of. And also in their under Prandelli, I believe they beat Juve last season as well. So I mean, Milan should be winning it if they're going to win the league. But it's not a disaster, if you ask me. I mean, the disaster is to ship four goals, but not to lose this game by one goal.
If you look at their recent run, you'll see that apart from that Atalanta game, as you mentioned, Fiorentina lost to Roma at the beginning of the season. They lost to Inter. They lost to Napoli. And they lost to Juventus. And Lazio, sorry. So, again, it just shows that, for me, this was a game that Milan should have been aiming to win. But perhaps this is where Vincenzo Italiano's team kind of turns the corner and starts making good value on the great play that they've shown.
Yeah,
just before they lose Vlahovic in general. But yeah, I was just going to say something similar to what you're inferring there, but it's probably a more disappointing result for Milan to be losing that game than it is for Napoli to be dropping points to Inter. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Inter are the defending champions, and there were times where I was watching this game, and it was a fantastic game of football. Let's just say that right from the off. Had some worrying moments in it, obviously, with the head injuries, but an absolutely fantastic game of football. But there were times where I was like, I'm a bit disappointed that it's all Inter on the front foot and Napoli, who arguably created the better chances early on, but they were all on the break. It was all like on the break. But then, you know, I kind of had to check myself and be like, well, again, let's look at where Napoli were last season, and let's consider the fact that Inter are champions. And to go to San Siro and again to lose by one goal to the defending champions, who are, I mean, aside from Napoli and Milan, obviously the main contenders, I still think the only contenders for the Scudetto alongside Milan and Napoli, is not going to be like a huge blow. What's a bigger blow for Napoli is the injuries that have come out of this game, because we've obviously spoken before about the African Cup of Nations coming up, and it now looks like they're going to lose Anguissa and Osimhen for the best part of 2 months. I know Anguissa is only supposed to be out for a few weeks, but then we're coming to the Christmas sort of break, and then we've got the African Cup of Nations afterwards. I think that is more worrying than this defeat for Napoli. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. It's perhaps a good result for the title race, kind of keeps things alive. But Milan also got a pretty extensive injury list that we should mention. How much effect do you think the kind of injury lists are going to be having on this title? Does it favour Inter?
I think that if you consider just the first 11, Inter are probably the best placed team in the league right now. They have a very complete squad, with perhaps the exception of the goalkeeper. They're stacked in every area of the pitch. But maybe Milan have more depth. There's a good squad and a lot of replacements. But of course, as you mentioned, a lot of these players are currently injured. We found out that Rebic will be out until the new year, and that's yet another name to add to the list. But I think that in this year, that's post COVID, and with the calendars kind of very very tight, there's going to be a lot more injuries, and it's a theme we touched on last year. But ultimately, these guys are athletes; they're not machines, and if you increase the amount of games and you decrease the amount of days to recover, there's obviously going to be more injuries. I'm no doctor, but that seems pretty obvious to me.
Mm. I just wanted to pick up very quickly on something that Boaz said there about Inter having the strongest 11. I mean, possibly, but I think one of Inter's biggest strengths last season was like how Conte transformed them and got rid of all of that fragility, and they were more likely to go and score a 92nd minute winner than kind of concede at the end. And I think this game, while it was a fantastic result for Inter and while it does bring them right back into the Scudetto race, I think the worrying sign is still there that they were very fragile at the end, and Napoli should really have taken a point in a game that Inter, for me, on the whole, dominated. Again, it was very open. Napoli created some great chances on the break. Napoli were away from home against the reigning champions. That's totally understandable. But Inter had this game. Inter had control of the game, and they very, very nearly gave it away. So I'm not really in the camp that now we've seen this transformation. All the Italian papers were like, this is Inter's start from here. This is where Inter's challenge starts from, sort of thing. I'm not buying that yet. I need to see more, and I need to see more of that sort of mental toughness that we saw under Conte if I think this Inter team is really going to be favourites for the league this year.
Yeah, they definitely look the more likely to concede at the end. Napoli really shanked a couple of chances that you'd really expect them to put away, as I said. But speaking of teams who are kind of regaining old form, what do you think of the claims that Juventus are back, you know, after their 2-0 win against Lazio?
On the back of that performance, absolutely not. So that was the other game that I watched that I wished I hadn't watched, to be honest. It was an awful game of football, really, from a neutral's point of view. I mean, Juventus got two penalties, which were very, very legitimate penalties, really created very little beyond that. Lazio were on the front foot the whole time, but even they didn't really do anything. I mean, Luis Alberto looks like a shadow of the player that he was last season and the year before that. And even Pedro, who has been fantastic. I mean, if anything, that's where Allegri had success, basically. They marked Pedro out of the game. Pedro had to start drifting wide in the second half to try and see any of the ball. And it was just like really turgid viewing. And if it wasn't for two penalty calls, I mean, you can say, oh, tactical masterstroke, they find a way to win. But this wasn't Juve finding a way to win. This was a way, Lazio finding a way to gift two penalties to Juve, because they were both really, really rash tackles. And obviously Reyna coming out of his box as well, like that, a really rash decision before he kind of clattered into the back of Chiesa. There really wasn't very much to get excited about here. Yes, a good result away from home for Juve, but on the basis of that performance, they're not even going to lay a glove on Milan, Napoli or Inter this season.
Yeah, that result takes them up to eighth, joint on points with Fiorentina.
Yeah.
Who we're just speaking about.
For me, the notable takeaway from that match was how Sarri kind of lost his rag. Before the game, he mentioned that he wasn't a Juventus fan and therefore he was happy that they won the league with him. But other than that, he couldn't care less about the Juventus fans and he swore that they couldn't care less about him, which is fair enough, but maybe not something that should be expressed before the game. And after the game, he said that Juventus had a soft penalty and that they just defended on the edge of their area, which it's true, but if it's not broken, why fix it? And if Sarri knew that this was what they were going to do, maybe he should have come up with some tactical plan to beat it.
Yeah, does sounds a bit bitter coming from Sarri in that moment. Do you expect Juve to park the bus against Chelsea in a similar way on Wednesday, Bas?
Juve have the benefit of having already qualified from this Champions League group, so in theory they could rest some key players. I think it's in their DNA right now to quote-unquote park the bus, and I think coming to London with Chelsea wanting to take the 3 points, partly to avenge the first game, but also I guess to win the group, Allegri will try and get an away draw and maybe steal a goal on the break. It's probably not going to be such great viewing, but maybe Tuchel can help us out and get an early goal that might force Max to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, and just while we're on the Champions League, let's just have a quick look at the other fixtures. Milan obviously in a very difficult spot. I think they're not quite mathematically out of it, but bottom of the group with a couple of games.
I said at the beginning of the season, and I said it kind of as a joke, that maybe Milan should drop out of the Champions League altogether and focus on the league. But it looks like they took me a little bit too seriously. So the Scudetto Kiss of Death is back.
Yeah. Do you want to, in that case, wish the best of luck to Inter in their game against Shakhtar? Or will you be...
I honestly and genuinely wish them the best of luck against Shakhtar. And I hope that for the coefficient and for other reasons, also kind of to rile Conte up a little bit, I'd like to see Simone Inzaghi get the team out of the groups, which was his stated aim at the beginning of the season. So... Now, there'll be a great feat of one-upmanship on the previous boss.
Yeah, I think you were saying before, Kenny, if Inter win and Real Madrid win, then they go through. So every chance of that happening. And how about Atalanta against the famed young boys of Bern?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no option here other than to win this game. And Gasperini, I know, has been referencing the fact that it's not going to be played on grass. It's on... 5G or whatever G it's on.
Hopefully it's 5G now. It was 3G, I think, when Harry Redknapp was complaining.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, either way, plastic grass of some sort. But Atalanta have to win this game, really, because Man United and Villarreal, the other two sides, are 2 points ahead of them. And, I mean, this is probably the one where we don't know. We know that Inter, if they win, they should go through. We know that Juve are already through. We know that Milan are unlikely to go through. Atalanta's still more on a knife edge. But yeah, they did well at the weekend. Great preparation. I mean, Spezia was a bit like target practice in the end, really, the way that game turned out, despite going down early on. But yeah, I expect them to field a strong team. Good for Atalanta is that they've got their defense back after having had people like Darun filling in at the right of the back three. So that's not going to be the case anymore. So, I wouldn't say quietly confident, but yeah, there's no option. Like there was no option for Italy but to beat Switzerland, really. There's no option for the Italian club but to go to Switzerland and get a result. So.
Oh, no, you've given them the Scudetto kiss of death. But yeah, it's definitely my pick of the midweek games. Those games on the artificial surface against young boys, always exciting. Often see a lot of goals and players misjudging the bounce of the ball and that sort of thing. So definitely be one to look out for. Right, I think before we wrap up the main talking points section, we've put it off long enough, we're going to have to address the other Scudetto kiss of death.
Well, I gave you the segue there. That's expecting you to pick up on it, Oscar.
Oh, sorry, mate. Not professional enough broadcaster to twig that one. But do you want to give me your thoughts on Italy potentially boycotting the Guitar World Cup?
I'm happy for Boaz to give his views. Look, undoubtedly disappointing. Italy should still, and this is the other kiss of death here. There are a lot of high ranked teams in the playoffs, but Italy are European champions, and if they should have enough about themselves to back themselves to go into these playoffs and win. Simple as that, really. Three out of the 12 teams go through. Italy need to make sure that they're one of them. I don't want to preempt what Boaz is going to say here, but I wouldn't want to make too much. I wouldn't want to be too disparaging towards Switzerland, because they're ranked something like 13th in the world. There are 9 groups in the European qualifiers, so they were always going to be difficult, you know. It was always going to be tough. Italy were always going to be the favorites. I'm not denying that, but it's not like we're talking about, you know, what should have been an easy stroll through an easy group. So disappointed as any Italy fan is. Italy obviously still have that big question around the number 9, but I don't know. Let's see where we are after the playoffs, because I'm not really ready for the doom and gloom after the highs of the Euros. But it would be very Italy to not get to the World Cup after winning that.
Yeah. How about you, Baz? Any solutions to the lack of a striker dilemma?
So first of all, Italy have form in this, where they win a tournament, for example, 82, and then they either don't qualify for the next tournament or they do abysmally. So it wouldn't be a great shock, but this would be the first time that Italy missed 2 World Cups in a row. And for me, the most depressing thing about this would be that despite Italy not being at the World Cup, the Serie A would stop for a month and a half and we'd have to watch this tournament knowing that our own heroes aren't there. But without sounding too cocky and hopefully not applying the kiss of death again, I think rumors of Italy's demise have been greatly exaggerated. After all, they only conceded 2 goals in the entire qualifying section, one of which was quite a weird counter-attacking goal by Bulgaria, which ultimately I think is where Italy actually lost the automatic qualification spot. It was a freak result, the first game after the Euros, and honestly, Bulgaria had 2 shots, not 2 shots on target, 2 shots the whole game. So it's one of those freak results, and of course, it has to be said, if Jorginho scores either of the penalties against Switzerland, we'd be talking about a very different situation right now. It particularly stings when you know that both Bonucci and Berardi, who were on the pitch against Switzerland, scored their penalties in the weekend games. But it would be wrong to just pin this on him. I think Italy have lacked goals in this qualifying section. And as I was telling you guys, maybe we were a little bit overly critical of Ciro Immobile. He's kind of like that item of clothing that's been sitting in your cupboard for several years, and you were like, yeah, it's nice, but maybe I can go out and get myself something more fancy. And then you wear the fancier thing, and it's completely uncomfortable. It doesn't work for you. You look like a dickhead, honestly, and you have to go back to your old comfortable Ciro Immobile jeans. I think this quest for the number 9 has been kind of tragic. There have been talks this week of naturalizing João Pedro of Cagliari, who is a very decent player. But honestly, if João Pedro is the answer, I don't know what the question is. Like, I think once Italy recover a few of the injured players and kind of get a little bit of rest, I think the national team will be rejuvenated and hopefully go into this qualifying round with confidence and their heads held up high. The only team I slightly fear in that qualifying round, with all due respect to Scotland, Kenny, is Portugal, of course. But on paper, at least, Italy should be able to beat Portugal.
That there is the Scudetto kiss of death, Boaz, because you know what's going to happen next, don't you?
Well, I would want to reveal that in our private conversations, Kenny sent us a message saying that, oh no, Scotland could draw Italy, and I wrote, let's hope. So that there is the Scudetto kiss of death. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that'll be the game that Mario Balotelli gets recalled for.
He's going to be very tired walking all the way from Turkey, as he offered to do. I mean, I don't know why he offered to do that, because presumably the Italian Football Association can afford a plane ticket. But
I've mentioned this in the past, but I mean, obviously in 2022, Balotelli is not the answer to Italy's goal problems. But again, in a parallel universe where Balotelli's career went where it was supposed to go, Balotelli would be like at the front and center of this strike force. It's just he's not the player that he was going to be, let's say.
Yeah, I guess one final thing, sorry, Oscar, before we move on, is I would like to touch on the Northern Ireland game, because obviously, you know, the postmortems were being conducted in the aftermath. And I think when you watch that game back, Italy played very well in the first half. Things didn't quite go their way. In the second half, Northern Ireland became like absolutely resolute and played out of their skins, really, and Italy just began to run out of ideas. It can happen. It's an away game, and yes, we can be disparaging about Northern Ireland in the same way that people are disparaging about Scotland or whatever, but at the end of the day, they have got to major competitions in recent history. You can't just assume that you're going to turn up and win a game like that. Again, a disappointing result, but you know, it's not like Italy were played off the park and just managed to scrape a draw. Disappointing result. Had the first half gone slightly differently, had Italy got the breaks in the first half, then it would be a different story.
And ultimately, yeah, with Switzerland going on to beat Bulgaria 4-0, it wouldn't have really mattered. I doubt Italy could have got three goals against Ireland.
Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Point taken. However, had they been a club team, they definitely would have qualified for the Bad Week Award. But since they're not, we have to decide who gets that, as well as who gets the Good Week Award. Any nominations? But as I know, you were keen to nominate your own team for Bad Week.
Yeah, I think shipping four goals against, albeit a good Fiorentina side, is pretty shocking. And the attitude shown by some of the players was also not up to par. And it's a shame, because with Napoli playing Inter, it was a potential chance to kind of gain some points on the rivals. Instead, we have a fresh league now.
Kenny, it sounds like Lazio potentially deserved the nomination as well.
Well, no, I mean, only if Juve are up for it as well. I mean, it was it takes two to tango that badly, basically.
Okay, we'll give it to Milan then.
Yeah, sure. I think Milan probably deserve it.
And then for Good Week, I guess Fiorentina or Inter really have got to be the main candidates based on our discussion so far.
I think it has to be Inter. Boaz mentioned that Fiorentina, a couple of the goals they were kind of presented with on a silver platter. Inter were sensational. It was an incredible game of football. There wasn't a single bad goal in that game. Five goals, all of them absolutely wonderful, including the penalty from Çalhanoğlu. And I'm aware as I say that it was a penalty, but that penalty was absolutely inch perfect. I mean, you can't take a better penalty than that. And for what it means for the Scudetto race, and Inter have dragged themselves back in it.
And it was a fantastic advert for Serie A and part of this Premier Leagueization of Italian football, with end-to-end stuff and last-minute tackles. Just really enjoyable.
And Perisic scoring a header from an absolutely ridiculous angle as well. All sorts of contortions going on there.
All right. Keeping both the awards in Milan this week then. No big surprises elsewhere, really. Atalanta coming out 5-2 winners against Spezia. Roma overcoming Shevchenko's Genoa 2-0. We'll talk a little bit about that one in the mentions. Sassuolo and Cagliari drawing 2-2 in another game, which we'll mention briefly later. Venezia winning 1-0 away to Bologna. And as we were recording this podcast, Verona versus Empoli and Torino versus Udinese both finished 2-1 to the home team. Upcoming fixtures this weekend with Kenny. Have you got a pick at the weekend?
It's got to be the game between Juve and Atalanta. for me personally. I know that I said that Juve were absolutely horrific to watch, but the implications of this game for the Champions League race are absolutely huge, really. If Atalanta win it, then they'll be, I believe, 7 points clear of Juve. And given that we're more than a third of the way through the season, that would be enormous. If Juve win it, obviously all bets are off, and I think you would fancy Juve to probably keep grinding out these exciting results that they're grinding out, and probably claw back.
You have to revise your answer to the question of whether Juve are back next week.
But I guess elsewhere, obviously, there's a small matter of Napoli taking on Lazio. And that's after Sarri's managed to go to war with one of his previous clubs. We'll see if he can avoid doing it with another one of his previous clubs. But that's obviously a huge game as well. And I guess we'll see what Napoli are made of, with, you know, minus Osimhen in this one, and the Scudetto race could take another huge turn as well.
Yeah, weekend so exciting. Couldn't pick just one fixture. So Baz, I don't have your jingle ready, but it's time for Keeping Up with the Italians.
So here's a quick round of Italians playing abroad, and you may remember former wonder kid Federico Maceda, who used to play for Man United. He's currently playing for Panathinaikos, and he got a goal and an assist in their win against Arababuli. So good for him. It's nice to see that he's still playing. My favorite striker at the moment, Kevin Nieboa, got a brace in the Austrian First League. And he's not top goal scorer over there anymore. He's just second top goal scorer, but we're hoping he gets the award. Going to managers abroad, you guys will be happy that Antonio Conte got his first win as Tottenham manager with a 2-1 win against Leeds. By all counts, it wasn't the greatest game ever, but apparently Conte himself showed great passion. Staying in the UK, Sir Claudio Ranieri was responsible for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer eventually getting the chop with a crazy 4-1 win against Man United. I wish I had a time machine so I could go back and bet on that result, because no one could have predicted that. And ending with managers doing their things abroad, I'm going to go to Kilimini City, which is a club in the second division in Zanzibar, who just hired the Sardinian manager Giovanni Scanu, who looks like he's really enjoying himself and has a little bit of a pot belly standing there in the middle of the African sun. Seems like another one of these Italian managers who's really taken to traveling and enjoying it.
Lovely. Thanks for that, Baz. Let's kick off the honourable and dishonourables section with a goals honourable, which is not a goals honourable, I believe.
No, again, it's a records honourable. Oscar, I've explained this to you before. This is for...
We've got a few records honourables today.
This is for Dries Mertens, who was already Napoli's all-time top scorer in all competitions, becoming their all-time top scorer in Serie A too. With a fantastic finish at the end, but I repeat, this is not an honourable for the finish, fantastic though it was.
I'm going to give records honourable to Vlahovic, who has equaled Fiorentina's club record for the most goals scored in a calendar year. That's 27. And obviously there's a little bit of the calendar year left, so most likely that he'll beat it before he leaves the club in January. Baz, you've got... Is this an honourable or a dishonourable for Beppe Goodfella?
It's a definite honourable for... For my...
Every week, Baz just stitches me up with what's written in the spread.
He's a Palermo striker, Beppe Fella, who scored the first goal in Rosanero's victory and then proceeded to ask his girlfriend to marry him. So I thought that was a nice touch. And I mean, she wasn't going to say no in front of like 20,000 people or whatever, you know? Very smart of him.
Yeah, sounds like a good fella.
Nice scenes, though. Nice scenes.
Yeah. And on that note, you've got an honourable for... is this for Mourinho or is for Felix Finejan?
Yes, this is an honourable for... Well, you know what? We can give an honourable to... Let's give an honourable to Roma for the story of Felix Finejan and Mourinho buying him an 800 euro pair of shoes.
What I want to know is what kind of shoes are these that they cost 800 euros?
I don't know, because the video was cut off before the box was open.
Yeah.
They go... What are they?
I haven't seen the shoes either. I have to admit. But yeah, I mean, what a story. There's someone was sharing a tweet of his from of Felix Afenagian from not much more than a year ago, I think, when he scored his first goal for whichever youth team it was. I don't even think it was the Primavera, but it might have been the Primavera. And here he was, you know, being brought on in a deadlocked game against Genoa where Roma just couldn't find a way through and absolutely turned the game on its head, also with a wonderful goal, also not a goal's honourable. But yeah, Mourinho saying that he had promised him that if he scored a goal, he would buy him this 800 euro pair of shoes that he coveted. And then, you know, coming good on his promise. So, an honourable for Roma, I think. We've kind of been quite nasty about Roma really recently because of Mourinho's antics. Yeah. But he gets some brownie points.
Doesn't he really just understand this new generation of players so well? It's just so in tune with them. Kenny, we've got you down for another one here for Keita Balde. This is the actual goals honourable.
This is the goals honourable. This is for absolutely one wonderful overhead kick from Keita Balde for Cagliari against Sassuolo. And also a little shout out for Nandez as well with some lovely trickery down the wing. But then he plays in what is essentially a, you know, a slightly a lofted cross. It doesn't look like there's that much danger, and Keita Balde just pinpoint perfection with the overhead kick goes in off the crossbar as well for extra effect. Just lovely.
I wanted to give an honourable to Immobile for refereeing a game between, I think it's Lazio employees and the Vatican. I'm not sure exactly who from the Vatican, but some very funny
was
pictures
the Pope in
goal, the refereeing or... kit.
It ended 7-7 and Chiro gave two penalties.
Well, obviously this is an honourable because, as you know, no dishonourables for referees on this podcast. So he's immune at least for a few weeks. But Vidal, Baz, is certainly not immune from dishonourables.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like Vidal had kind of turned the corner in his narrative in the past few weeks. He played quite an integral role in the Champions League victories for Inter, and he was kind of seemed like the so-called jolly that Inzaghi could throw on to close out the game. But the scenes from the recent Chile game versus Ecuador make most horror films look tame, and they make Nigel de Jong's famous World Cup tackle look like a caress, basically. But essentially, Vidal, his boot is right up in the air above his own head as well, and it collides with the poor Ecuadorian guy's face. And Vidal also seemed kind of shocked to be sent off for this, which was all extra dishonorable for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Shocking display to the point that the still image is quite humorous, but obviously a very dangerous thing to be doing. Kenny, your dishonorable is somewhat less serious.
Yeah, this is for Lozano, who was on international duty, I believe, with Mexico, and who was speaking to local media and told them that, you know, Napoli had been very good for his development, and he feels like he's improved a lot there, and that one day he hopes to move to play for a big club or a bigger club, I think he said. But yeah, that, I wonder what sort of a welcome he got when he got back into Naples after that one.
Yeah, my dishonourable, I'm not sure if it goes to Allegri himself, but the coverage around Allegri being very humble after the Juventus' 2-0 victory. I think it was a bit of false humility, really, given that they need to show humility and take it one game at a time, because great teams don't get ahead of themselves. I think it's a bit of a humble brag to assume you're a great team when you're 8.
Personally, I would be very humble after that performance as well.
Yeah, exactly. And Baz, you've got one last mention for a fellow Italian football podcaster and journalist.
I should say that I'm a big fan of Gabriele Marcotti's work, and he's excellent. But his tweet following the Victor Osimhen injury that we mentioned earlier had me a little bit curious. He wrote, Victor Osimhen suffered a compound fracture on his cheekbone and orbit and will need surgery, out for at least a month, possibly more. We'll have a clearer picture after surgery. Now, is it just me, or is Marcotti making it sound like he's sitting there by Victor Osimhen's bedside waiting for news Like, we will have a clear picture. Come on, man.
It sounds like
he's doing the
surgery. I think as Oscar said, he makes it sound like he's passing the news on to concerned family. And once he said, look at the x-rays, he'll let us know.
He's living out his George Clooney ER fantasies.
Well, anyway, we await his verdict.
I should say,
we wish Victor Osimhen.
Everyone in Italy, when you get a degree, you're considered a doctor. So if anyone asks, is there a doctor in the house? Marcotti is like, I'm a doctor.
I think he's probably a doctor of languages, right? Doesn't he speak about 8 languages fluently?
Either way, not the kind of doctor that gives us news after a surgery.
Does he speak the language of medicine? That's what we want to know.
Doctor of Calcio. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much to all of our listeners. We will be back again next week at the start of the week. Until then, enjoy the football.
La Juventus è campione d'Italia questa data, il 6 maggio.
Tutto in anticipo, la Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001.
Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra nerazzurra.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.